A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, and welcome to the show Reflections, where we select a particular verse from the Quran or a hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam and reflect on its particular meaning, relevance, and relation to life and society today. Today we have Sayyid Haider Naqvi from Karachi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid, and welcome to the show.
Salam.
And together we'll be discussing the verse number 30 of Surah Furqan, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِي أَتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. And the translation is as follows. And the Apostle will say, O my Lord, indeed my people have forsaken the Holy Qur'an. Sayyid Haider, what does the particular word mahjura mean, for which the English translation is to forsaken?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The word which has been used in this ayah is mahjura. Mahjur is something from which you move away. I'll give you a familiar example. You have heard the word hijrat.
Yes.
The Prophet, for example, he left Makkah and he moved to Medina. This process was called hijrat. Hijrat is that you leave a place or a thing and you move to something else.
Mm-hmm.
What this ayah wants to say is that on the Day of Judgment, in Qiyamah, the Prophet is going to complain, not about others, about his own ummah, about his own nation. He says, Inna qawmi, that indeed my ummah, my nation, they had forsaken the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the meaning of mahjur.
Okay, and the Quran says that he will say this. So it's in particular reference to, as you said, to the Day of Judgment. So I guess it will be an outcome of all the behavior and actions of the ummah.
Yes. First of all, if you see the previous verses,
mm-hmm.
they are picturizing some incidents that are going to happen in Qiyamah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, the Quran says that the Prophet is going to complain about his ummah.
Okay.
And in order to understand, in order to perceive what this ayah is telling us, if we just look around in our society, in our lives, what behavior we have with the Quran, so we can easily understand that this, what does this complaint mean?
Mm-hmm.
For example, most of us, our language is not Arabic, and we learn reciting the Quran in Arabic, but Quran is a message, we forget this. And all the life, suppose when I was a child, I learned the Quran, the Arabic recitation, and I continued till this day. And I never, no one guided me that actually Quran has got a message for you, and it is the most important book. It is the last book. It is the last message Allah sent for the mankind. You know, it's a very strange thing, and I don't know why. I don't talk about others, the other nations. We Muslims, we have got a very bad behavior about Quran.
Okay, so what is the right behavior? I mean, if we have millions, if not almost 2 billion people reading the Quran, you, maybe not every day, but very frequently reading, reciting, and some memorizing, and having Quran competitions, and so on and so forth. So how has this been forsaken? You're saying that are we looking at the Quran only at the surface level? Are we not delving into the Quran? What is the problem?
Okay. If you make it like this, if you start asking, did Allah send the Quran for recitation? Did Allah send the Quran for memorizing?
Mm-hmm.
Did Allah send the Quran for increasing your money or pays?
Mm-hmm.
Did Allah send the Quran for keeping it in a very beautiful cloth, rolling it packing it in a very beautiful cloth and keeping it in your cupboards?
Mm-hmm.
or did Allah send the Quran to guide you? What is going to be the answer? Definitely the answer, every person will give the answer, the Quran was sent down for guidance.
Right.
Another question. Suppose a non-Muslim comes to you and he asks you, okay, I am interested about Islam, but I have seen that you Muslims have divided themselves in several groups and you are fighting each other. So can you give me something about which all of you have are united that this is the right thing? Okay, and all of you follow and believe in that and you don't have any difference of opinion about that. So which book a Muslim will give to him?
The Holy Quran.
The Quran. But now if that non-Muslim asks you and me, okay, you are giving me this book to understand your religion, and you are saying that this is the only book that all the Muslims, they agree on it. So tell me whether you yourself got your religion, got your thoughts from the same book, what is going to be the answer? No. I just recited it. I was just after getting sawab from it. But I never tried to know what Allah wanted to say to me. Well, the verses of Quran, they are repeating that this Quran is guidance for you. Why don't you ponder? Why don't you think deeply in the verses of this Quran? So the result is going to be, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. It's very, you don't have to think very much to understand this verse. It is common. And I like to say to my brothers and sisters that this, when this verse is present in the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, verse 30, if it is present in the Quran, it means that this is going to happen definitely in Qiyamah. The Prophet is going to complain about who? About us. So we who are waiting for his Shafa'ah, we must be very careful that instead of Shafa'ah, we are not hit by this complaint. If we are not connected to the Quran, ourselves, our children, our society, if this does not become a trend, treating Quran like a science book, like a book you study in your school and you know you have to give the examination in the end.
So we need to approach it in an academic way.
Yes, in an academic way. You have to understand it. That is what Quran says again and again. Say that we have made Quran easy for understanding. Four times this verse has been repeated.
Right.
وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. So is there anyone who comes and tries to understand? We have made it easy for understanding. So there will be no, you know, excuse on the day of Qiyamah for those people who had this book on their disposal and it was lying for the whole year long in their cupboards. They were just kissing it. And they were just using it for barakah, but they were not getting the guidance.
I mean, especially in the past few years with the development in technology, the Quran has been probably 100 times more accessible with our smartphones, on the internet. We can select any particular verse in with a few clicks, you know, and even get its recitation, its translation. So it's ever more accessible today than it ever was before. So I think we are going to be very accountable for this.
Yes, of course.
If we don't, you know, access it the way it needs to be.
There are several things, I would like to say, there are several things that in order to access them, we have to pay. We have to do a lot of work. And about Quran, we have to pay nothing. Okay, we can simply pick it up and read it, study it, and understand what our Lord or Creator, He wants from us. And if we don't go towards it and we are just busy in doing everything else, watching television channels, studying novels, different things, this is going to be really, you know, a difficult time when the Prophet complains. And that is why the Muslim Ummah has reached this condition.
So we need to, I guess, re-educate ourselves about the purpose of the Quran, and we establish that this is a book of guidance and we need to look at it strictly that way and to really be, I guess, very adamant and eager to keep studying it and reading it. What are we, for someone like any one of our viewers who wants to change themselves and their approach towards the Quran, what would you advise them in terms of like perhaps a daily or a routine practice, and how should they change their approach in a practical step-by-step way so that they can start to extract what they need to extract? And also I wanted to ask is, what should be extracted from the Quran by the individual? Because many people will, some complain, and they have complained to in normal conversations, they would say that it's difficult to understand all these terminology. So,
right against what Quran has said. It said, Allah says, I've made it easy, okay? Right. And people say it's very difficult to understand. Mm. That is one proof that the Prophet will say, you ask the Quran, are you easy?
Right.
You study it, it's easy.
So what are the steps that one can take in order to extract the right nutrients, you can say, from the Quran and to apply them and to have the right routine?
Okay, what I like to advise for the beginning is that this is what I've been telling those brothers or sisters. I get the opportunity to talk to them about Quran, that not very much time in the beginning. If you can give 12 minutes or 14 minutes just to start, just open the Quran and tell yourself that Allah is going to talk to you, because Quran are the words of Allah. The ahadith, they are the message of Allah, but the words are from the Prophet or from the Masumeen. But the Quran, even the words are from Allah. So you imagine that your Lord is talking to you. Before starting, you pray that I've come to this book, I've come to study it, I've come to listen to you, my Lord, so please guide me. And one of the most important things is that when you want to get guidance from the Quran, don't try to teach the Quran. The things which you have been collecting, the information, the ideas which you have been collecting from outside the Quran, because this has to be the foundation. And the other building has to be constructed above this foundation.
Right.
So what happens to the Muslims, why they are fighting, why they are divided, is that they get the religious information from all the other sources, secondary, or whatever you say. And then when they come to the Quran, instead of making the Quran their guide, they try to guide the Quran. Okay, you said this, it means
it
this.
It means so and so, right. Okay. Yes.
So this is not guidance. You are guiding the Quran. It's not the Quran which is guiding you.
So how do you protect yourself from that? Because if you are naive, there's a high tendency to do this. How do you protect yourself from applying your own version of the understanding to what is the reality?
Okay. First of all, I like to say that we, the grown-ups, for our coming generation, we should try to develop a system in our houses, in our schools, that our children, the coming generation, their first source of information about religion should be Quran. We should have good Quranic teachers whose ideas are based on Quran for the coming generation. What about us, who have been collecting from everywhere else and now we have come to the Quran?
Right.
What we can understand from Quran itself, it guides, it says that, okay, leave aside all your affiliations, your parties, your relationships, your ideas, leave everything. Wash your mind, okay, and then sit in front of the Quran. And then pray to Allah that, O Lord, guide me, then definitely it's going to guide you. But when something comes against your ideas, then don't try to say that, I've heard, I'm now 39 years old. For example, me, I'm 39 years old and I've been doing this and this and all that was wrong.
Right. Okay.
It's going to be very bad if this happens to you in the hereafter. That Allah says, I had written in my book and you have been following others.
Right.
That is going to be very difficult. So we have to wash our mind, and then sit in front of the Quran. Don't try to guide the Quran. Instead, make Quran your guide.
Okay, Sayyid, with that, I think let's take a break and we'll be back shortly, after a few minutes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, and welcome back to the show, Reflections. We've been discussing with Sayyid Haider Naqvi, verse number 30 of Surah Furqan, in which the Holy Prophet complains to Allah about his nation, the Muslims, for forsaking the Quran during the period in which the Quran was available, the guidance was available. And we talked about, prior to the break, we talked about what it means to forsake the Quran and what the right approach should be towards the Quran, so that we try to minimize our distance from the Holy Quran and come closer to its reality and purpose and apply it to our lives. For the next part of the show, we'd like to talk about the socio-political impact of forsaking the Quran. First, let us begin with, you know, what has been the social effect for this nation to forsake the Quran? How is it? We can understand that if you disobey or you don't follow or don't come to know about the laws and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as an individual you'll be lost, you'll make mistakes and you'll suffer. It's as simple as that. But what is the impact on society, and what examples can you share that have been a direct result to society as a result of abandoning the Quran?
You know, we listen a sentence from common Muslims that Islam is a complete code of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we perceive from this sentence is that Islam tells you, gives you guidance for every aspect, every field of your life, whether you are sitting in your home, whether you are in your office or your business place, or whatever, you are a ruler or you are a rural person, it must give you the guidance. Then you can say it's a complete code of life. And if you ask the Quran, it says, in the last days of the Prophet, it says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that today I have completed from every aspect this religion. Whatever, what does it mean? That whatever the humankind needed, I have given them. So when your Lord, your Creator, is saying that whatever was needed for this world, for the hereafter, I've guided you, I've given you the directions, now you have to move. Like Quran tells you something and then says, Inna fi dhalika la ayatin li qawmin yatafakkarun. The ayah tells you something and then says that what we have said, there is guidance for those who think. What does it mean? It says that you start thinking, you'll discover several things. May it be science, may it be other fields of your life, and you will make progress. You will discover this universe. What the Muslims did, or sometimes I think that it was a very clever plan to take the Muslims away, a very clever mind or minds, maybe the Iblis, the Shaitan, and his friends, his awliya, like the Quran says. They set and developed a plan that if they want to crush the Muslims, and not only the Muslims, because the Quran says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. It's a message for all the mankind. Message of peace, message of progress, message of living like brothers, message of helping others. But Shaitan, he doesn't want this because he swore in the very beginning. So it was a very clever plan, very smart plan, how to get the Muslims away from the Quran. So slowly the concept of the sawab is there. When you do something for Allah, Allah will give you the sawab.
Yes, yeah.
But what he did was that he turned our attention only towards sawab. And he distracted us from the guidance. Because this was the only way from him to make the Muslims do what he likes. Make the inheritors of this book do what he likes and not what Allah wished.
Right.
So the results you can see. What happened in Karbala? Karbala comes out from Quran. Imam Hussein, he wanted to implement what Quran said, while others, they had tricked people by showing a Islamic face, but actually a satanic plan, a shaitani plan they wanted to follow.
Right.
So it was Imam Hussein's duty to save mankind, because this was the last message. No other prophet was going to come. No other book was going to come. And if this book was distorted, its interpretation, it was distorted, then the humankind will never be guided. Like what Allah said. So Imam Hussein sacrificed everything and saved the actual face of religion. And what was a very big political problem? That you can't allow someone who disobeys Allah, someone who's following Shaitan in his life, you can't allow him to sit on the highest place and control the society.
Right.
When he's bad himself, how can you make you guide you people to the right path?
Yes, when he's bad and has
selfish desires. Yes, going to create, his policies are going to create the same atmosphere where people commit sins.
Right.
Okay, he's going to put sanctions on the right people so that that message does not spread, because it's when it, if it spreads, he cannot sit there. So that was what Imam Hussein did.
Right.
But you know, like the same thing which we have done to the Quran, we have just turned it into a tool, of getting sawab.
Yes.
Same we have done to Imam Hussein and Karbala. Yes.
Well, it seems to be a very widespread cancer, this mentality of seeking rewards from the Quran, because you will see majority of the Muslims and the Shia, Sunni, all the sects, they think in exactly this manner. They perform their acts purely for the rewards. They will go for ziyarah, umrah, hajj, for the various levels of rewards you get. You know, a low level, medium and premium level reward. That seems to be the goal of most Muslims. And it, I guess it really needs to be addressed, especially by scholars. Yes.
It's not, you know, what I think is that it's a matter of common sense. You know, how big a contradiction. You follow a prophet, you love a prophet who devoted all of his life to guide humanity, to serve humanity. You are following an Imam, okay, Imam Hussein, who sacrificed his life, his children, everything to save this message of guidance for the humankind, to keep it in it, to preserve it in its actual face.
Right.
He sacrificed everything. We are the followers, how selfish we are. We just want to get favors from it, but we don't want to do anything for that.
Right.
So there's a big contradiction. When we say we love Imam, we must ask the Imam, what do you want from us today?
Right.
What do you expect from us today? You suffered so much in Karbala. You made such a big sacrifice. Okay, tell us, we are your followers, we are your servants. What do you want from us? You want us to change? We'll change. You want us to spread this message? We'll spread this message. We never try to spread it. Okay. And all the humankind, we will be asked. We are the last ummah. What the Quran says, Kuntum khayra ummatun. You are ummatin. You are the best ummah.
Right.
Why? Ukhrijat linnas. You have been sent to guide other people. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna anil munkar. You ask people to do good things and you stop them from doing bad things. What did Imam Hussain do in Karbala? He said, Uridu an amura bil ma'roof wa anha anil munkar. I have come out from my house, I have done this qiyam to ask people to do good things, to follow Allah, the message of Allah, and to stop doing bad things. Same what Quran has said. Now Allah is definitely going to ask that you are, we say that we are the best ummah, Allah loves us so much. Like the previous religions, as Quran states, they used to do. We are the best people, we are the sons of Allah, we are the beloveds of Allah.
Right.
But Allah said no. When you left the message, what Moses told you, when you left the message, what Jesus told you, you are not beloved. You are beloved when you follow the message. Same is to the Muslims. Right. And I used to say to my brothers that if there was another book coming after Quran from Allah, the things which Quran says about the previous religions and condemns them for their misdeeds, worse than that, it was going to say about the Muslims.
Right.
That we gave you such a beautiful program, and what you did to this, you just got some selfish ideas to just get benefits. You wanted to do whatever you like, what Shaitan wants from you, and then you wanted the Prophet to do shafa'a for you. You wanted Imam Hussain to do shafa'a for you.
Right.
So this is total contradiction.
And we call for the reappearance of our current Imam as well. You know, without
that's why he's not coming.
Right.
That's why he's not coming. For this type of selfish type of nation, the Imam is not going to come.
Yes.
If you study the Quran, your mind becomes clear. When Imam is going to come? When people are really waiting for. Okay, a person who's a cheater, can he wait for Imam? He knows if he comes, he'll thrash me. Okay? Because he won't. How was Mawla Ali? He was killed because of his justice.
Right.
Okay. Many people deserted him. They went to the other person. Why? Because he was very strict. Why did you eat this? Why did you eat the Baytul Mal? I'm going to get it back from you. I'm going to fight with you if I get the chance. So they loved leaving Mawla Ali and going to the other side.
Yes. Because there
so
was
if
no
I'm wrong. A cheater in my business, anything I'm doing, if I'm not a well-wisher for the humankind, I can't be a proper, a real person who's waiting for the Imam. It needs some qualities. And you know, when these qualities will come into existence in a group of people, in a large group of people, then Imam will come. But for people like us, he's not going to come. Because Allah gave us 11. And what we did to them is clear. So the 12th and the last one, Allah will watch when we get fed up from these systems, when we get fed up from following Shaitan, okay, then we'll become the proper muntazireen, the waiters. And when we become the proper waiters, then the Imam is going to come.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned about being fed up about this system, because in a sense we have At a macro level, if you look at this verse and how it talks about how the Ummah has forsaken the Quran, it has not only forsaken its guidance for the personal level of guidance, but also the socio-political level of guidance has also been forsaken, because the Quran presents a whole system, as you said, a system, and in any system and ideology, you have the system of economics and politics and governance, etc. And if you look at the system that we have today, even in Muslim countries, other with the exception of the Islamic Republic, the system, the foundation of that system is not the Holy Quran. So, you know, this needs to, I guess, needs to change.
Yes, of course.
Yes. How do we get to that point? To establishing a whole socio-political system based on the Holy Quran.
In my opinion, each and every Muslim, it is obligatory for him, first of all, if he wants to solve the problems, his personal problems, the problems of the society, the problems of the whole humankind, if he wants to solve. Because you know what Allah said when He was creating man? He said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." I am sending my khalifa. Okay? What does khalifa mean? Khalifa means that when someone is not present, the other person sits on his place and does whatever he had to do. Okay? What does Allah's khalifa mean? To that He will pursue on this earth what Allah wants. The society which we have created, was this the society Allah wanted? Was this the society for which Allah created this universe? People killing each other, people hating each other, a few people gathering, controlling all the wealth of the world, and a large number of people dying without food, without water to drink. So definitely, how we can change this? First of all, the thing which we have left, we must come back to it. The Quran, it shows you the picture, how Allah wants to see this world. And then, in whichever field you are working, you can fit yourself that from this place, if I want to work for the big cause, what shall I do? How should I act? Is my duty just to gather money? Just to work like an animal? And just to enjoy life? Is this my duty, what Quran wants?
Right.
Or no? So when you become attached to the Quran, then slowly things will begin to change. And your values become the Quranic values. But if your value is luxury, if your value is, you know, wearing brands, branded dresses, and buying new cars, showing off, you love to show off to other people.
Yes.
Okay. When these are the values, then there is the complaint. وَقَالُ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. Other ummahs will be asked. Allah is going to ask every prophet and his ummah. But the most important question is going to be from us. Because we were the last.
Right.
And Allah will say that, okay, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ. You were the best ones.
Why
did you left Amr bil Ma'ruf? Why did you leave, Nahi anil Munkar? You followed Imam Hussain. How come you say you are the followers of Imam Hussain when you have nothing to do with the society?
Yes.
Okay, let everybody mind their own business. So this was not Quran taught. This was not Imam Hussain taught.
Okay, Sayyid, with those very thought-provoking words, I think we can close the show, and I thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us today. And inshallah, we'll be having you back in this show once again in the near future.
Inshallah. I also like to thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Okay, thank may Allah bless you. Thank you. Thank you, dear viewers, for joining us for this show, and inshallah, we'll see you soon on the next episode of Reflections. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.